Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're going to continue talking about the goals of our flesh. And why we want to do that is so we can see how our flesh, your flesh, has convinced you that you want certain things, that certain things are true, and has greatly influenced what you believe. When we start to see our flesh as sort of, it has its own life, and it has providing a service by providing that life to your soul. But now that you have been reborn spiritually, you don't need that life from the flesh anymore. And it is now opposed to the spirit. And the flesh that is being created conforms to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Your temperament determines your flesh. And your flesh is created to cope with your environment, your history, your beliefs, your particular circumstances. So it is very distinct for you. This is something you have to work through with God. Others can help you, and we need that feedback. We need that mirror, if you will, to see where we are, where we may be avoiding dealing with things in our flesh because they've worked. But God will not let your flesh remain. And he's the only one who can actually remove it. Our goal is to go with him when he goes to investigate and remove our flesh. At the root of your flesh is a wound. You've been wounded in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions, regardless of whether you even recognize it or not. Because none of us has been raised perfectly. None of us, our circumstances are perfect. The only person who has ever been on this earth that did not have wounds is Jesus. He was wounded physically, but not soulically, which is another reason we have to work out our soulical healing through trial and error, because Jesus was not the pattern. He cannot and did not, is not able to, because he didn't experience that healing in his soul. So we want to be aware that we're going to be making mistakes. We're going to be failing. We're going to be missing it. Our challenge is to learn to deal with that, learn to accept that, but also how to get healed. We can avoid circumstances that keeps our flesh from being exposed and our wounds from being touched, which causes pain. Or we can embrace the notion that part of the process of healing is to have those wounds often exposed, not necessarily to other people, but to the bright light of day. Because it's very often that the wounds are caused by our believing lies. You can believe a lie about what God thinks about you, about what you think about yourself, about what your parents or your family thinks about you. And what we want to recognize is that only God can speak the truth that sets us free. Just knowing the truth, 1 + 1 = 2, doesn't set us free. It's when he speaks truth in you and addresses that lie that we are changed. You know, we've all experienced it. Yeah, I've heard that a million times. You know, a friend is talking to us about a problem we're having, and they have the answer, and yes, it's the right thing. It just doesn't apply in our situation. And then maybe someone else comes along and says, well, have you tried this? And they go, oh, that's a great idea. And you may or may not realize that's the same thing this other person, your other friend, has been telling you all along. God has a timing, and he's not just getting you, his goal is just not that you believe the right things. And this is where we have this problem with our language, this whole faith thing. If you just believe the right things and have enough faith, everything will work out. Well, in a lot of ways, God's not interested in everything working out. He's not interested in you being in situations where you avoid pain. Pain is merely that red flag that's saying, over here, we've got a problem, over here. And if all we do is avoid it, we're never going to deal with what that red flag is a marker of. That flag is in a wound, and we want to find out what that wound is. Most of the time when God allows that pain to come to the surface, it's because he's ready to heal it. So we want to be able to recognize and be aware of the wounds so that we can get healed as quickly and as easily as possible. Because as you start being healed of your wounds, that frees you then to be involved in the healing of others, of your friends, your family, of those who have even gone before us. Time is not a restriction on when we receive healing. And we won't get too far into that, but we've talked before. But think about it. If time was created for this earth zone, healing can happen at any time. So we want to take care of what is assigned to us to take care of in this earth time. Because the wounds you've got now, this is another one of those things. There's no reason whatsoever to believe that the wounds that don't get healed now are magically healed when we die. Death is the enemy, not our savior. It is not God's intent that you live this life as is, just muddling through, just enduring. You are here to learn to rule and reign. And the more we avoid those wounds and refuse to let go of our beliefs, often God has to create more severe circumstances to reveal that pain, to bring that pain to the surface. And we'll find out that if our goal in this life is to avoid pain, and we do whatever's necessary to shut out people, to shut out circumstances. And by doing that, we are strengthening our flesh. As we do that, what we find is we are also closing ourselves off from God. We are strengthening the separation between our soul and our spirit. We are strengthening our flesh. And we are saying no to God. The more we fight, the more we strengthen our flesh, and the harder it will be when we finally do let go. Now, there are times that God and people, that he just lets them be. And I don't understand how he chooses, how he treats certain people. But there are some people that he will not allow to live with their wounds, and others he does. This is another one of those things, is we can't judge what God is doing in our lives based on what he's doing in the lives of others. We just recognize that that's his plan for them. What we need to be aware of is, what is God's plan for you today? And knowing that he wants to set us free, speak truth into our lives, and heal our wounds, set us free from the flesh. On the one hand, it's great, it's wonderful, it's freeing. But we then have to change. If you think about a severe drug addict who has alienated all her family because she's stolen from them, she's been in jail, she's sold her body to pay for these drugs, she has a new set of friends and a new lifestyle. She has no future. She's abandoned her future. She's dropped out of college. She doesn't have any future any longer. And all of a sudden, God frees her from that addiction and reveals himself and heals her wounds. And say she was hurt in her family. Even there was, maybe she was molested as a child. And now she has to rebuild relationships, and she has to confront those abuses, and she has to rebuild her future, rebuild her body. She has to say goodbye to her old friends and begin to rediscover old friends and make new ones that are good for her. She has to start making good choices. How much easier it is to just stay a drug addict. So change is hard. We have to live like adults. We have to develop our own judgment. We have to make decisions. We have to start seeing what's good for us and be making our own decisions about what's good for us and not relying on others. Yet we can do it, because we have been renewed in our spirit. Everything you need for life and godliness here on this earth is in you now. All the information, all the power, all the authority is not only available, it's in you. You have everything you need. The kingdom of God is in your midst, in your middle. Just as your heart is in your middle, the kingdom of God is in there too. You have all the resources you could ever need. But also, God knows that on our own, we can't handle these things. It's too much. So that's one of the reasons I think he created time, is so that we wouldn't feel overwhelmed. So that we would have a way of spreading out the healing process, the change process. because one of the things we have to learn is patience with ourselves. That we fail, that we succeed, that both the failures and successes of yesterday don't mean much next week. And by trial and error, by experience, we find out what does matter. We find out by experience how much God loves us. Doesn't help for somebody to tell you, well, God loves you, he's going to see you through. Just have enough faith. That doesn't help. But God saying it, God being it, helps. That's the difference. So when we look at the goals of the flesh, we see that those goals are the goals we've had without God to protect ourselves. And it's to some degree, God has allowed those goals to be met through the flesh. The goals themselves have an element of necessity, of need. Because without God, it was up to your soul to control, to get your needs met. But not anymore. Now those goals are all met already in your soul relationship, in your soul's connectedness to your spirit. So that third goal we talked about last week is to protect yourself from others, to be sure you control others rather than allowing them to control you. Since none of us have experienced true grace growing up, we expect those around us, family, friends, people in authority, to in some way expect something from us. For most of us, even act out of love is tinged with manipulation of one kind or another. We want to behave a certain way to make our mother happy. We want to go into a certain career field to make our father happy. We get our gratification from our appearance or our accomplishments. We control our acceptance by others by our actions. In other words, we are manipulative with them. You know, if I just make him happy, he'll leave me all their money, his money in his will. We manipulate others just as much as we hate being manipulated ourselves. We control others through smothering them with our needs. And this is a real tendency with parenting. It's often a one or the other. A parent may feel like it's their right to get their needs for unconditional love from their children. They've raised them. They put in, you know, they put their life on hold for 18 years to raise their child. Now that their child is grown, they should, you know, put their lives on hold to take care of them. Versus the whole other. Well, I've done my part. They're adults. I don't need to be involved in their lives anymore. They're on their own. They hit 18. They're out of the house. They're none. Sometimes earlier than that. Well, they know what's right for them. Regardless of whether the child is 18 or 8. So we can easily go to extremes, and we want to be aware of that. But also, we can overemphasize our needs rather than being an example of what is my child learning from my relationship with God. If you are modeling going to God for your needs being met. Honey, this is how I get, when I'm angry with, for instance, when I'm angry with your father or with circumstances or with myself, this is how I handle it. I go to God. Say, Lord, is there a wound here? Is this a normal reaction? And there are ways you can tell if there's a normal reaction. You know, people do stupid things, and we get angry at them for doing it. And life is sometimes hurtful, and we get angry and upset. But there's two main ways you can tell. If it's a disproportionate reaction, whether it's good or bad, and sometimes we need help from our friends, am I overreacting here type of thing. And also, if the strong reaction lasts more than 24 hours. And very often, this is how new wounds are created, is we take offense or we feel like maybe we've offended someone and let it carry on way too long. So we want to see where we can create ways of judging our reactions and our behaviors. So we look at how we control others through our activities, our behaviors, our manipulating, our expectations. But the goal is that we are trying to get them to love us, or we are trying to keep them from hurting us. We want to keep them close enough that we can get our needs met through them when we want our needs met through them, but not close enough that they might make demands on us themselves. In other words, we want them to be available for us, but we don't want to be available for them. And that's not a relationship. So we, at the same time, fear being exposed, fear rejection, fear being wounded. We think we love this person and want to have them around, but we are really just keeping them available. And again, this is, you know, most strongly in parent-child relationships, where we don't know what a good relationship would be, what an adult relationship would be with our parents or children. And since we don't have the foggiest idea what it is, we don't know how to start to create it. But it's worth working on and finding out. And there are tons of resources out there. Because that child or that parent will always be in your family. It's not like a friend. Once you move away, you may never see him again. You may never talk to him again. So we want to value the people that God has placed in our lives and learn how to relate to them as an adult, how to be ourselves and allow them to be ourselves. And there may be times when one is giving life and encouragement and assistance to the other, but not because it's expected, but because it's given. So this is, again, one of those areas where we can really see the flesh functioning is in our relationship with others. Clearly, at that same time that we're trying to hold them close, we're also fearing their rejection. They might see what we're really like. So even as we're holding them close, we're pushing them away. This is one reason most Christians are just as bad at relationships as non-believers. This is why divorce is just as rampant in Christian so-called Christian relationships as non-Christian. It's not that they don't love God. It's not that they don't love each other. But there are incorrect expectations that if you marry the right person, everything will be peace and love. There will never be any conflict. You won't have to work out anything. That all the issues you brought into that marriage will be magically resolved, rather than realizing that odds are the person God put you with, he put you with so that you would be rubbed the wrong way. To expose your wounds, to expose the lies you've been believing, not so that everything would be peace and light, but so that it would be chaos. And give you the greatest opportunity to learn how to live as a spirit being and rule and reign. To rule over yourself and reign over your circumstances. Not rule and reign over your partner. Not rule and or reign over your kids or your friends or anyone else, your employees. But your circumstances. Yourself. To rule over your soul. Bring your soul into alignment, into subjection to your spirit. But if we don't know how to recognize and deal with the flesh, our relationships are based on and ruled by the flesh. The truth is in the seed. What begins with the flesh will continue to be a fleshly relationship unless you do something different, unless you intervene. But then a new seed has to be planted. This is part of the problem as well, is very often in a marriage, for instance, one person changes. One person is set free. And a whole new set of problems arises. Is in a relationship, if you've been living in that relationship and built a life around getting needs, getting a certain category of needs met from your partner, and then realizing that that's not their job and you don't need them for that anymore, but finding you do want to be friends with them, you do want to have shared goals. There's other things that would be healthier for your relationship. But what if that other person doesn't want to get healed? Insists on you meeting, continuing to meet the needs that you met before, that you are no longer comfortable with. What happens then? And this is again where you find out there's no hurry, but you go, okay, Lord, am I to stay in this relationship and continue to grow in you? Or is there nothing else I can gain or contribute or benefit from this relationship? Now, it's not an option to not continue to know him. He does not sacrifice you, your peace, your healing, your knowing him for a relationship. No relationship is that important to him. Marriage is certainly not that important to him. The only reason he makes any kind of a big deal out of it at all is because it's important to us, and that's much more of a social reason rather than any notion of, you know, God blessing a marriage. I don't know where we got that idea, but the whole point is that he puts us in relationships, in circumstances, in our society for different reasons, but we have to look at what do we gain, what do we benefit from this particular situation. Now, a good relationship, a good marriage, is a wonderful opportunity for God to accomplish in our lives what he wants to accomplish. But it's not the end-all and be-all. And maybe we'll get into that some other time. But the fourth goal of the flesh is to keep our emotions suppressed. Our flesh wants to keep us from being controlled by emotions or letting them be out of control or letting them be touched by others. We either want to control others by our emotions or by lack of them. And we'll go into more detail on this next time. Feel free to email me at diane@wecanprepare.org. You can always visit the blog there. It's always good hearing from you, from hearing your, getting your questions and your feedback. I always appreciate that. So this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day, and thank you for tuning in.